Hello, welcome to, well, that was way too abrupt. We should probably control that a little bit. We're doing our best to try to work on our intros. Welcome to Learning from Strangers, a show where people you don't know talk about things you might be interested in. I'm Ethan Moses, and joined, as always, by Holly Phillips. Holly, how are you doing?
Good. Wow, it's so serious.
Did you like serious the intro? I'm trying to add a little bit of drama.
Yeah. You're like... Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, a little Orson Welles type stuff in that. But well, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately, and I realized that there's like a radio voice that I lack, and so maybe I can make up, you know, my own radio voice and make it really dramatic. Mm-hmm. And I realized it just makes me sound like a douchebag. So I'll probably stick with the normal one. So we took a week off, everybody. We apologize. I apologize, but that's okay because we're coming back, and Holly is fueled up. She is hopped up on metaphoric Mountain Dew, and we're ready to have a conversation. Also, not unlike our Wetiquette podcast, but a conversation that was actually prompted by a post that she made in the last week about essentially when enough is enough and trying to get across to a new potential love interest that is no longer potential that, hey, just not into it, not interested in you at this point, and how it's really difficult sometimes to get that point across. And you, Holly, have some actually quite recent experience with this. So kind of take us through kind of what prompted that blog post.
Well, I think it started with, I went on a date, and the date was, you know, a pretty average first date. And then I agreed to go on a second date, but between the time that we had the first date and the time that we were supposed to have our second date, this guy was constantly texting me, and I already have a weird feeling about the texting and dating. Like, I feel like it's just not a good way to get to know someone. Mm-hmm. And I hate saying the word busy because I know everyone is busy, and like, if you really like someone, you'll make time for someone, but at this moment, I don't even know where my cell phone is, actually. Like, I don't keep it by me all day, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when this dude would text me, it's like I would check my phone and see, like, 5 text messages from him. And, like, I thought it was, like, social norm that you don't, like, if someone doesn't respond to your text, you don't keep texting. Mm-hmm. Is that just me, or?
No, I say it's probably social norm for people that are just beginning to date or have gone on a first date. Like, if I don't hear from my wife, I'll panic and probably send her text messages. But yeah. No, it's weird. Like, it's just weird, so.
So it was getting to this point where, like, when I would check my phone and see all these messages, and sometimes he would email. So not only would I have text messages, but I'd also have an email from him, and I'm like, it was starting to, like, make my blood boil. Like, I would look at my phone and be like, oh my god, what do you want?
It's hitting you from all sides. Jeez.
Yeah.
I almost said double penetration. That is not the saying that applies in this situation.
So it was just really, and it got to a point where, like, it was annoying me so much that, like, I told him, I was getting so annoyed, I flat out send him a message back, and I was like, look, I can't do the second date. And he said, why? And I just decided to go flat out and be totally honest and say, this whole thing is suffocating me. Mm-hmm. And that's honestly how I felt. I was not trying to be mean, but I thought if I did the whole, hey, now's not a good time type thing, then he would just text me later.
Yeah.
So I just said, this is suffocating me. And he was like, cool, thanks for being honest. Yet he still texts me for like 2 weeks after that. And I'm like, to me, the message of like, hey, you're suffocating me, that was my like nice warning. Like, okay, now you need to back away slowly and let's just pretend this never happened.
Yeah.
And then, but once he kept texting me, I'm like, okay, you're putting me in a position to almost have to be like fucking mean to you.
Yeah.
Because I can't take it.
Yeah. Well, and you make a really good point, and the distinction definitely needs to be made is to tell somebody now is not a good time is giving them the impression that but sometime may be a good time.
Right.
It is a cop out, and a lot of people do it, and you shouldn't do it. And I think what you did was like people may think that being suffocating is a really mean thing to say to somebody, but let's be honest here. There's a lot of people that suffocate the fuck out of people and they never know it. No one ever tells them because, like, I don't want to be mean. Well, that's really going to be bad for them in the future. So you did that guy a favor. Our podcast today is about that next step is you've told somebody, hey, this is enough. I'm not interested. You have qualities that I find less than appealing, and not being able to, wrap your head around that concept, you know, and that's kind of what we want to talk about, number one, let's just say, everybody, like, don't, like, after a first texting, Facebooking, all this kind of stuff, there's going to have to be an input to this soon. I'm telling you, our whole means of socializing is coming to a screeching halt. Everybody thinks we socialize more. We actually don't. We actually socialize less, but what we're getting is a fake robotic socialization. I think dudes like this are demonstrating this because, like, to a lot of people, texting is just, oh, it's just a text. I'm just sending a text. But it is annoying, you know? Like, who wants to get that all the time?
And that's the thing. Like, at first, I felt a little bit bad because I definitely did not get the sense that he was, like, a bad guy or had these intentions. But the bottom line is, whatever someone feels from something you do, that's how they feel. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't control that. So it doesn't really matter what his intentions were. Mm-hmm. How I felt is how I felt. And the thing about a text message or an email or whatever is, it might not be a phone call or it might not be a death threat. But the thing is, it's still intrusive because you're texting me expecting me to reply. Yeah. And to me, texting me 5 times is almost a little bit controlling. I was feeling like I needed to check in with him, and I will be damned if I'll check in with someone that I've been on one date with. That is
you're a 21st century lady. Fuck no, you don't check in with anybody. But that point, you just blew my mind with that point because, like, that's a really good point. I mean, this idea that there has to be a consistent narrative to the beginnings of a relationship. Like, I think people try to plan these things out too much. I also relate it to, you know, new parents with their kids. You know, sometimes you just have to let stuff happen. And if it happens, great. If it doesn't, putting too much effort into it is not only not going to make it happen, it's going to make it worse, I think, you know? And so, I don't know. I don't understand that kind of ferocity in the beginnings of a relationship. It was one date. Did you tell him you loved him on the first date?
No. And the thing is, it's like, I haven't been on a ton of dates in the past couple years. So, I mean, I feel like I'm kind of getting back into the swing of things. And I hate to sit here and say that there's, like, a game that you have to play, but it's like there is a little bit of something to be said about, you know, slowly getting to know somebody, like leaving a little bit of mystery. So he was texting me these things being like, what did you have for lunch today? What did you do today? What's your political stance? Let's talk about that the next time I see you. Yeah. You know, I don't want to text that. Or like, and then sometimes it would be like, hey, did you get home? Was your cat happy to see you? All this stuff. And I'm like, dude, oh my God, I am so overwhelmed right now. Like, I was going nuts.
You may have dodged a bullet. I think that the fact that you're not a human mannequin at this point says a lot about your, like, judgment, because, like, that's obsessive. And everybody, I think that it's really weird because I think both guys and gals have this issue. Mm-hmm. Is that to show interest in somebody is a great thing. It's great to feel liked. It is not great to feel like someone is obsessed with you. Obsession is tends to equate to a hole in someone's kind of soul, I guess, is that there's something definitely missing and they're trying to fill it with you. And I mean, we've kind of talked about addiction a bit in the past, but I mean, obsession kind of fits within that. Is, you know, there's a lot of emotion that goes into it, and like it's scary. It's scary as fuck. And I think that in terms of first impressions, if someone is scared of you, I don't know if the relationship is going to go anywhere from that point. So, I mean, what do you think? I mean, what do you think appropriately in terms of texting? Like, let's just kind of break him down and then kind of not break him down emotionally, but break down what went wrong with that. And then we'll kind of continue more on kind of some signs. But like, you know, is it okay? I think it's okay to text after the date. Hey, had a good time. Let me give you a call in the future.
Yeah, I think for me, I feel like in the beginning when you're first going on a couple dates, I feel like the text should pretty much be logistical things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. I mean, I really do. Like, hey, I'm running late. Hey, where do you know? Yeah. I really think, and the thing is, he lived, he didn't live in my same city. He lived about an hour away, and he was going on a trip. So the time between our first date and second date was going to be like, I think about 2 weeks. So, I mean, it was probably longer than maybe what a normal time between, but, I think a good check-in, like maybe once a day being like, hey, how was your day? I think that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but just that all the time, you know, and obviously wait till the person responds to continue the, you know, don't have a conversation with yourself.
Yeah. Which is another sign of, you know, the possibility of you becoming a human mannequin or being stuffed in a trunk and sunk into a river or something along those lines. Like, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's really weird. And looking back, I'm sure I probably did weird stuff like this at some point. But how old was this guy? I mean, this guy wasn't, you're not dating teenagers here.
I mean, he was my same age, 28.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a grown man. He should kind of have some sort of a grasp on social norms. And in my opinion, past 25, I give people up to 25 because it took me till about 25 years old to kind of grasp some social norms and understand things. But after that, if you're really missing it, like, something's, I don't want to say broken. I hate to say broken, but I mean, there's a lot of people that are broken.
I almost thought about that myself because it was just so much that I was like, you know, what is going on? And I tried to think about this a ton of different ways. Like, I don't want people to think that I just was like, oh my God, this is annoying. Bye. Because I tried to think about it different ways. Like, part of it is I might just, if I were a little more into him, maybe I would have been into it. But you have to think about it this way too, is that the relationships that I've had in the past have been kind of controlling and manipulative. So any sign of that at this point, I am running like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
So like, that's problem one.
Mm-hmm.
Problem two is like, I think maybe when I was younger, like maybe 21, 22, I was probably a little more needy in relationships and maybe I would have been less offended by someone texting me all the time. I would have been like, wow, this guy really likes me. But now I'm just like, dude, it read to me as like that he didn't have a life.
Yeah.
And I don't like that, you know?
Yeah. And do you think it would have been different if he had been somebody that you were attracted to and you felt like you had some sort of a spark? Or do you still think that the obsession, like the obsessive tendencies would have kind of steered you in a, you know, this is creepy situation?
I felt like it still would have been a little creepy. And I think the thing that kind of turned it for me, because at first, because to me, it's one thing if you're really feeling this spark and you really both have a lot to say in the beginning because you're both excited about this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, you have a lot to say. Cool. But what the thing that really turned me off was that he would text me asking me when he could text or call me. And that was like blowing my mind. Like, he would be like, oh, what are you doing tonight? And I said, you know, hey, I got to teach a class. Then I'm doing a poetry slam. And he's like, okay, well, can I text or call you? And I really wanted to say, I don't fucking know. Can you? Like, do whatever you want, you know? And I said, it's a call or text. Seriously, do whatever you want. And he was like, well, I just don't want to disturb you. And at that point, I'm like, dude, you're disturbing me every second. Like, every second that you text me, I'm pissed off right now, you know?
Yeah, so it's like a passive-aggressive control as opposed to that kind of, oh, see, that's weird. Because people think that there's people that, they think there's people that are controlling and there's people that are pushovers, but I actually think both of those fit in the same boat because people that are pushovers still maintain that control because they kind of need to be controlled in a way that's controlling in and of itself. So, like, he was kind of a, oh, so he had some low self-esteem as well, too. I want to hug this guy. Hey, if you're listening, buddy, I'll hug you. I'll come all the way there to hug you, which sounds weird. That's an expensive trip just to hug a stranger, but hey, heal the world, you know?
So I when I told him the whole suffocating thing and he was cool about it, I didn't hear from him for a couple of days. And then about 2 days later, he sent me a text and I knew he was going to do this because people like him do this. He said, "Hey, I didn't mean to come across as suffocating if that's how I came across." And then I went from being kind of feeling bad about what I said to being fucking mad because that to me is so manipulative. Like, it obviously you made me feel suffocated because that's what I fucking told you. Okay, first of all. Second of all, it doesn't matter if that was your intention or not. That's how I felt. And you texting me, continuing to text me after I said you're suffocating me, you're still doing it. Like, go away. That's where I'm like, okay, seriously, dude. I flat out told you something that wasn't even nice, and you're still texting me.
It's because I guess maybe the devil's advocate would say, "Oh, all you said was you're suffocating him. You didn't say it was over." But that's kind of like someone saying, "I'm really not sexually attracted to you," and then being like, "Yeah, but there's still a chance, right?" Like, probably not, you know? So I think that that's all it takes. And I guess maybe like looking back, you know, people listening to this, they understand this was one date. Okay, so this isn't, you know, Holly suddenly after 2 months with somebody saying, "Oh, I don't want to date this guy anymore," and then, you know, saying, "Oh, it's okay." It was one single date, and suffocation is something that should come after you've been married for 4 years, you know. Trust me. Talk to my wife. She probably feels suffocated all the time. I wait for her at the door like a little tiny cat. I haven't actually when she comes home, my cats run up and they jump up on a little cabinet we have sitting there. So I thought it'd be funny one day to do that one day and wait for her. I don't know if it translated as well. She thought it was cute and funny, but that's kind of a weird thing. I mean, that's moving in the direction of, you know, being kind of a weird husband. But that's neither here nor there. But I mean, I think that with space is a great thing in the beginning of you got to think of a first date like a delicate little flower. And you can plant the flower and you can water the flower and it may grow into something. It may just die because, you know, you really got to look at the, you know, the nutrient content and soil and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of, again, like you said, logistics to look into it. But if you pour a shit ton of water on it and you cover it with manure, it's probably not going to make it because it's not going to be able to make it through. And if
Right,
people
'cause you
think
suffocated
you suffocated the
it.
flower with water and manure.
You drowned it.
I'm not a gardener, but I think this gardening metaphor is fucking right, right on point.
Gardening metaphor, like, works for everything.
It kind of does. It's like kind of a fallback. But yes, I mean, so I guess like the message is in this situation, you've been told that there's something wrong with you, something that is not like on the part of you. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like you're easily suffocated, Holly. I don't think. Maybe I don't. Maybe you are. Maybe you walk into a room and you just suddenly go, "I gotta get out of here." But then the comment that if that's what, like, I mean, that just that kind of like makes me go, like, I just like, I don't know, it gives me goosebumps to hear that. I'm like, God damn it, you idiot! No, you can't blame it on that person. It's not. Suffocating is suffocating is suffocating. There's no like misinterpretation of suffocating. You either suffocate somebody or you don't. There's really not any between. There's not like a, "Oh, you totally, you know, misinterpreted what I was doing by texting you every single second," you know? So that's, so has that, I mean, has that, what happened after that then? I mean, is it over or is this guy still lingering?
I mean, I would say for the most part, 99% part, it's pretty done. Because
Is that
after
1% him standing outside your window at night and you not being able to see him?
God, no. Oh, I hope not. At least shit. Oh my God. No, I think it's pretty much over, but it's like, honestly, I mean, I don't, there's been a few times, and I say few as in like maybe this was like the third time that something like this happened to me. Most of the time when I'm like first starting to date someone, I'm the one that I'm like, "Oh, I really like them, and maybe they don't like me." Do I text them a million times and whatever? No. But so I really didn't know what to do. I mean, I've like rejected a guy like twice, you know? So it's like when I had to sit down and say, okay, what do I even say to this guy? That's why I felt like such a jerk, because I was like, wow, I'm usually on the opposite end of this. So I obviously didn't want to hurt his feelings, but once this kept escalating, I was glad that I just ended it. And he texts me still several times after, in the weeks after that. Like, he would Like on Mardi Gras, he texts me like "Happy Mardi Gras." Like I felt like he was just pulling at straws, trying to get me to respond to anything he was saying because I just quit responding. Because to me, I gave you the nice warning message. Now I can pretty much do whatever I want. Like you're getting the straight up fade because I told you to leave me alone. I thought, and you're still bothering me. And so now, I mean, if he messages me, I'll just have to be like, dude, like you got to give it up.
And these messages aren't, I guess maybe like, he's not trying to be friends with you. Like, I guess maybe that's something that, like, he's not trying to be friends with you. And so what's the point of these messages? Like, unless he's like, actually, I think we could be friends, you know?
The funny part about it, and I can't believe I forgot this, probably because, like, just it's been a busy couple weeks. But so I said, you know, I don't want to go on the second date or whatever. And he was like, okay, cool with that. And then he sent the message about not meaning to be suffocated. Well, our second date was supposed to be on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. We were going to go to a baseball game. And my fear with that was, like, what are we even going to talk about for the duration of this baseball game? Because we've texted so fucking much. The guy knows my life story from the text. And so, whatever. I canceled the date. I didn't go. On that Sunday, he's texting me being like, hey, just get out of the baseball game. Are you hungry? Are you fucking kidding me? He was, like, trying to get me to go eat, and I asked someone at work, I'm like, am I the crazy one here? Like, this is not normal, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, maybe he just thinks of you as a friend. I'm like, no. Like, that, no. Dinner to me is not, that's, no, we were not friends before this date. We just, the first time that we met was on the date, okay?
Yeah.
So, we met once, we went on one date, and then you're going to, like, ask me to dinner on the same day that I canceled our date? Like, no, dude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this is after that you've, you know, you've canceled a date, and I guess, and you didn't cancel it. It wasn't like you canceled a date. You said, hey, sorry, I have to put tiny little plastic nail coats on my cat. It's not like you said that, you know. You said, this isn't going to work. This is not going to work because of this. Yeah, and so... Yeah. Still going with that. And so that is a point, and if anybody hasn't gotten it yet, that is a point when, like, enough is enough. Like, you need to kind of back away. But why is it, do you think, that people can't see that? It's very easy in hindsight to say, oh, why the fuck can't you get the point? But what do you think the problem is? Why do people feel like they just got to keep, like, they think that they're going to, like, it's like a war of attrition. You know, it's like the fucking trenches in World War I. You just keep fighting forward until eventually someone's like, okay, fine, we can date again or we can get married or whatever. Like,
yeah, what? I mean, with this guy, the only thing that I could think was that because he said I didn't mean it that way, that he thought I was going to be like, okay, you're right. You didn't mean it that way. So let's go ahead and go on that dinner date.
You weren't being suffocating. Oh, okay. Right. Well,
yeah. Oh, shit, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's the only thing I could think, even though that's totally fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, because I knew he was going to text me saying that that wasn't his intention, because I feel like people in his position cannot stand the idea of someone writing them off in that way.
Mm.
Like, he didn't want me to write him off as someone that was suffocating.
Yeah, you know? So it's more of a, so okay, so
like,
maybe that
almost like an ego thing, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that it's really interesting because a lot of people would look at that and say, oh, well, this guy doesn't seem like he's got much of an ego because he has low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's true. Like, you can still have an ego if you have low self-esteem. That's why people that when people say low self-esteem, they always assume like the shy person or whatnot, but that doesn't necessarily mean low self-esteem. That means someone who's kind of like protective of their ego, and so you don't put yourself out there because you can't deal with that rejection. So that's interesting, you know, because him saying, oh shit, that, well, there's no, and maybe that's why he, you know, what he said to you was he's trying to validate in his head, no, one, she didn't reject me, and two, she got, you know, she got the wrong impression. And then he's like, oh yeah, that's right, and so I'll keep texting her because none of this ever happened. It's almost that little thing from Men in Black where they scan people and they forget everything. I mean, that, you know, that self-validation really does a lot, because I'm not going to lie. Like, I think, I don't think I know for a fact, you know, I dated a girl off and on for about 2 years in college, and I was a huge dick. I wasn't a good guy in college. Not like a bad guy, but just I was pretty self-centered, drank too much, just kind of an asshole. Kind of in it for myself and not really thinking about I was a nice guy, but not to this girl. This girl, we both were very emotionally and mental, or, you know, just verbally abusive to each other. But it ended, and like most people in those relationships, I was like, okay, maybe we'll get back together, you know, in my mind, because I was like, oh, I'm lonely and I'm drunk, and so I need something. And, you know, like, she'd literally moved on and was trying to date other people and doing that kind of stuff. And, like, I rationalized it in so many different ways. I was like, oh, well, if I tell her I'm a good guy now, or I'll be nice to her now, she'll be like, oh, shit. Well, yeah, everything's all forgiven. And then I thought, you know, maybe it was because I was too fat at that time. And so I was like, oh, I'll lose weight. I mean, all this stuff went through my head. Like, I was in complete denial of the reality of the situation. And so I think that I can speak on behalf of dudes, but like, dudes are really good at denying that kind of shit. So I think women can probably do the same thing, but and then looking back, and I'm like, I was ridiculous. I would call her on the phone and say, oh, I'm going to do all this nice stuff for you and stuff. And I was like, no, you're still a dick. You're still a dick. You haven't
changed.
Would
she answer when you called? Or?
Yeah. And it was a little bit weird. It was more of a situation where, I don't know. It was. I felt like it was that war of attrition. I've got to keep pushing, and eventually, oh well, you know, oh well, he does look, you know, he is thinner, and he does seem cooler, and stuff like that. So it's a really weird thing, and it's almost like you get into a cycle. People talk about the cycle of crazy. Is that, you know, when you are emotionally distraught, you know, you'll start doing crazy stuff, and then you'll, you know, realize, oh, I'm being crazy. But then, you know, your way of rectifying that is to be even more crazy. And so you don't see how crazy you become, because it slowly grows. And like, I think that in these situations, it can be kind of like that, because you're just like, oh God, I can't be rejected. Let's bandage this up and fix it. And it's just not fixable. And maybe it's best for people to give up on it. I mean, I don't know. I hate to say it, because it's also pumped into the heads of people that, like, oh, don't give up. Americans don't give up. I mean, like, that's kind of the American, like, just keep climbing up that mountain. Which I guess you probably shouldn't refer to women as mountains, but in the first place. But you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like this whole notion of, like, hard to get. Do you think that plays into it at all? I mean, I'm not saying you were not playing hard to get. Cause you told
like
this
maybe
guy,
if someone's thinking, like, oh, they're just playing hard to get or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, does that factor into it at all? Or...
I mean, well, that's the thing, and that's what I was trying to say when I'm like, I hate sitting here and saying that you have to, like, play by certain rules, because I really think if it's, like, the right person, it's the right person, and, you know, maybe this guy will find a girl that's totally fucking desperate, and she loves that 24/7 attention, I don't know, but my thing is, like, I feel like, you know, in the beginning, I mean, you know, there's really something... I feel like it would have been a little bit different if I went a full day without hearing from him. Then maybe I would have been like, hey, I wonder what he's been up to all day. But instead, I already knew every detail, what he had for lunch, dinner, what time he took a shit. I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's just like,
that's a lot of information. You know,
people say,
hey, I'm having macaroni and salad and coincidentally taking a shit at the same time. How's your day going?
Like, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, I feel like there is something to be said about leaving a little bit left to the imagination. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you know. So maybe the hard to get thing, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's just, man, I don't come from that school of thought. My thing totally is like, I don't want to bother someone. I never want to be a bother to anyone. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I just tread lightly when it comes to that kind of communication. You know, if I text a guy, then, like, I want him to respond, and I'm not going to, like, jump right back and, like, respond. Like, I want it to seem like I'm not desperate. I never want to come across as desperate, you know?
Well, and I think that's a big difference between a lot of people will be like, oh, well, modern-day women are always playing hard to get. How are we supposed to know that we're not supposed to break down their doors and try to kiss them in their sleep, you know?
Yeah.
But there's a big difference between playing hard to get, which is a game, which you shouldn't play games, and not, just like you said, not looking desperate. And I think that that's one thing that people have to wrap their heads around is, you know, there's a big difference. Just make a difference. No one can be, you and I are pretty middle of the ground people, I think, in regards to a lot of subjects. So it makes more sense to us. But a lot of people don't get that. They think they either have to ignore someone completely or they have to like shower them with love and kisses. And it's definitely in the beginning, you know, definitely. But when, you know, in addition to that, I think, we'll say it again, social networking has fucked up dating for the next few generations. I'm really concerned about a lot of people. I really am. I have lucked out completely because I rely on it way too much. You know, just in connecting to a lot of different people, but that's messed things up big time. But aside from the texting, what are some other things that people need to kind of be wary of as signs that, look, this didn't work out and there's nothing that you can do to make it work out? You know, this isn't going to happen.
Like, I mean, I don't know if this is like what you're thinking, but I mean, if someone is liking everything I put on Facebook and commenting on it, and it's like, okay, to me, that is, you know, a sign that like, okay, that to me is a sign. If someone's doing that to me, then I'm like, okay, something is up here, because you're not going to like everything. No one likes everything I post on Facebook, you know?
Yeah.
Or like if you're retweeting my stuff or tweeting at me and it's going like unnoticed, I feel like that's just kind of like you need to like go back in your shell.
I was gonna say keep working on your dress made of the flesh of overweight women. And I'm making a lot of horror movie references. I sound like a fucking serial killer now. So that whole like, again, that's another social networking thing. It's like, it's okay to ask somebody. I think after the first date, it's like, hey, are we going to go on another date? And yeah, okay, at that point, so the second date is established. Mm-hmm. How much communication is okay? I guess maybe you could almost give points to everything. So like a text message is worth like 1 point. A phone call is worth 3 points.
Yeah.
A like on Facebook maybe worth 0.5. Is there like a limit of points that you should like kind of like rack up between the first and the second date to prevent yourself from being kind of weird?
I mean, I guess it depends on the time between the first and the second date, of course.
That is
true. But like the thing about Facebook or Twitter is that essentially that's like a window into your life, whether it's an accurate window or not. So if you go on a first date with someone and then they follow you on Twitter or they like or they become friends with you on Facebook or whatever, you know, that's stuff they're seeing, and maybe they won't talk about it with you, but this guy, for example, he would like ask me about stuff that I posted on my Facebook page, and I thought that was kind of weird. Like, he would be like, oh, how was, if I tagged myself somewhere, like I went to a brewery, he'd be like, oh, how was that? And I'm like, dude, I didn't, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird.
Stalking. And not only is it stalking, it's literally saying like, I'm stalking you.
I saw that because I didn't say anything to him about it. I didn't say, hey, I'm going to do this today. I tagged myself there on Facebook, and then he texts me about it. So I'm like, yeah, I know we're friends on Facebook, but that really doesn't involve you, so...
So maybe, like, another sign is if you have to research more about the person than they tell you, it's probably not going in a good direction either. Can we just tell people... Okay, let's just say this really quickly. If you want a Facebook stalk, go ahead, because everyone fucking does it. We all know everybody does it.
Yeah.
You don't have to like the things that you're Facebook stalking. You don't need to share that kind of stuff. You're kind of opening yourself up to looking creepy, commenting on everything everyone does. I mean, I see it a lot. That is not an uncommon thing. Like, this is not the first dude to do this. I see a lot of people that are disconnected and like, you know, now you post... stuff that's, you know, you post stuff for your blog and you post, you know, the things you're doing in terms of your career. You don't necessarily post, you know, every second of your life like some people
right.
do. However, I have seen, I have borne witness to people who are in the beginning of the relationship where you see person number one has liked 15 photos that person number two has posted up. And that's just not a good idea, because you should not. You've already broken your own heart in that situation. You've already convinced yourself there's more to it than it actually is. So that's definitely something that people need to watch for. And he, I mean, I just don't. I this dude is, and I gotta say this. it may sound like we're bashing this guy. I feel bad for this guy because this guy has enrolled in a school of dating that a lot of dudes have enrolled in. They have been convinced that women want tension. They want like to be princesses, and they want to be, you know, like given flowers and being like it's this like chivalry that is just fucked up. You know,
But I never got any flowers.
Well, he gave you virtual flowers. There's a bouquet of little tiny baby heads on your front porch right now. Little doll heads waiting for you. So yes, your flowers are coming. But do you know what I mean? It's almost this like, oh yeah, the only people will like me if I give them a lot of attention. And it's really messed up. It's this white knight. And for people not in the know, white knight, it's kind of an internet term given to men that are always jumping to defend women at every, you know, just in every situation. And it's mm-hmm. kind of got a negative connotation at this point because it doesn't, you don't, a white knight is someone who doesn't really understand what they're defending. They just understand they're defending women. And it kind of mm-hmm. takes the power away from women in those situations because it's almost like, oh, this woman needs me. And this kind of person is demonstrating that. And a lot of people demonstrate that. It's like, oh, well, they need mm-hmm. me. They need a Prince Charming. They need someone, you know, to ride in the sunset with me, which seems nice and is kind of romantic. But, like, it kind of makes it weird. Like, it puts – it's still a controlling kind of thing. It's still putting women below men in that situation. It's like, oh, well, I'm going to – you know, I'm the puppet master of your life at this point. So, I don't know. I mean, and Not that you ladies aren't complicated, because God fucking knows you are, holy shit, but dudes are too, but like, it's not so complicated that you should be completely blind to these kind of things, you know, like, too much attention is too much attention.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like I said, I felt bad, because I was just at first, but then it's like, you know, I'm just not, I just don't want all of that. I just don't want to be bothered all the time. And like the thing that I think frustrated me the most about it was that at first I totally did not think this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I obviously, if I thought it was going to happen, I wouldn't have gone on the first date with him. Mm-hmm. But I was like, from the things that he was telling me, he, you know, has a full-time job. He played on a baseball team. He's training to run a marathon. He had hobbies. So I was thinking, wow, this is someone that's like me in that we have a lot of things going on for ourselves. So he's going to have his life and I'm going to have mine. And that's kind of what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And then it turned out not to be that at all. I mean, he still does all those things, but I almost don't understand how he was like texting me and stuff all day, because I'm like at work and doing things, and I don't want to be answering 20 questions. Mm-hmm. And I almost wondered who was there before me that he was doing that to. Like, or was he just sitting around twiddling his thumbs, or
so if, you know, this is not just a you thing as much as this is like a standard, you know, like a standard mode for him to be in. And
yeah, like, I almost wondered, was he talking to someone else before, and then maybe the same thing happened, and then he just was like filling that void with like, oh, well, now I can just text Holly all the time.
Well, yeah, because when we talked about it a couple weeks ago, you kind of said you had the impression that, like, when you told him that, he kind of, it wasn't like he was shocked, like, oh god, I can't believe it. He was like, oh wow, yeah, heard that before.
He's like, yeah, that's me.
That wasn't the first time on that. So it was one of his hobbies, making dollhouses?
Now that I know of. But
man. I like to imagine, I know this is really bad, I like to imagine that every guy you meet, when it doesn't go right, he's a serial killer in the making. Like, he's just slowly working on these things, and you've amassed this huge, this would actually make a really good movie, where you've dated these guys that seem really nice, but they're kind of weird because mm-hmm. you're too nice, and you've got like 25 serial killers like at any given time just surrounding your house, like taking pictures. And that's kind of frightening now that I think about it, but I'm going to write that script, and I'm going to need your sign off on it.
Here's my thing. Like, you say that I'm too nice, and maybe this is enough for like another podcast, but like, what do you think I should have done?
Oh, I think you did exactly what you, I mean, too nice, not too nice in terms of like, here's the thing about nice people is nice people, no matter what, will always attract everybody, because nice people are open to everybody, you know? And
yeah,
I'm a nice dude. Like, I've been told I'm aggressively nice, which essentially equates to like, people kind of get annoyed by that. And nice people, the one thing that nice people have to always deal with, and we do, is that We don't write people off immediately. We give people a chance. And I think that you did something that most nice people cannot do, and it's commendable, is that you stepped outside of that for a second and was honest with somebody. Because God knows, there's been times I've not been honest with people enough to say, look, you're suffocating, or look, like, we can't be friends. Because, I mean, I deal with it more in terms of friendships than in relationships, but, like, for you to step out and do that, like, you did everything you could. There's literally nothing a nice person can do to prevent people from falling in love with them. I mean, you really can't, because guys like that, I mean, are probably used to rejection. And here's another issue that comes from this white knight school of etiquette that a lot of guys have bought into, is that just because a woman is nice to you on the first date or nice to you in general does not mean that she likes you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And and you shouldn't, as a nice person, as a mean person, whatever, just because you're nice to someone, you shouldn't have to feel obligated to, and this goes out to every woman out there and guys as well. Just because you're nice to someone, you shouldn't feel obligated to not hurt their feelings when it's not working out, because they have created that reality for themselves.
Right.
That's a good point. You've not said, hey, we're really, like, it's not like on the first date you were like, hey, this is going really well, we should do this again. It's like, yeah, we'll do it again. And then he fucked it up. So, no, I don't think there's really anything you do. I don't think people should stop being nice. I think I was reading an article by, I don't remember what website this article was on, but basically the woman was like, we need to be, what it came down to was, we need to be bitches, because nice women don't, like, nothing happens when you're a nice woman.
I've read
we're not going to get what we want. And there's dudes that have written the same thing. Oh, you got to be an asshole. That's not fucking true. We need more nice people in this world. But I think the one thing that nice people have to be aware of is that, you know, we do amass our fair share of stalkers and, you know, hangers on and that kind of stuff. So in that situation, there's not much you can do, but you handled it. But again, there was no, I mean, the next step would have to be getting mean. You have to get mean sometimes.
I think. Well, and that pissed me off, because obviously I don't want to be, and I don't want to be a bitch, but it's like, after I said my thing about suffocating and he continued to text me, I was like, oh my God, like, are you serious right now? And then, because I knew what was going to happen, if I reply back with something super bitchy, with, like, get the fuck away, then he would come back again and say, oh, well, you didn't have to be mean about it. Well, obviously I do, because you're still on my nuts. Like, go away. Like,
or he's going to be like, look at this bitch I dated. And right. Again, amass, and it's like, this whole, okay. Yeah. It's really a lose-lose situation. But I don't know. I think that you handled it well. I mean, I go back and I think that a lot of the situations that come from people, and I guess, I mean, maybe the theme of the show at the end of it is, maybe there's not a set of rules, but just, like, maybe it's more the responsibility of the person that's not interested to be as direct as possible, even though then, like, he didn't get the message. But I mean, you saying you're suffocating, this isn't going to work, that's all he really needed. And sometimes dudes, again, just like we talked about earlier, it's validating that they were right and the other person was wrong in the situation. It's just protecting you from rejection. So, but if someone tells you you're suffocating, just take them at their word. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. I mean,
I think for me, and maybe if there's other quote unquote nice people, if that's really what it is, then it's like, for me, you know, you just have to say whatever is enough for you personally. Like, so for me saying you're suffocating me, that to me was honest, because that's how I honestly felt. So I just had to tell him something that I knew might hurt his feelings, but it didn't make me feel bad to say it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like, I know I can go to sleep at night knowing that I did not lead him on. I told him exactly how I was feeling, and you can't control the way someone reacts to what you say.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's really hard for me to understand, but I mean,
yeah.
Well, you just have to say what you have to get off your chest, you know?
Yeah, and we live in a society where taking criticism is no one can take anymore. I mean, no one can take criticism at all. And critical criticism, I mean, whatever, like, no one can take criticism. So it's you know, it's you lose if you do, you lose if you don't, you know, kind of situation. So I think suffocating is that's the nicest. I'm trying to think, is there a nicer way to say suffocating?
I mean, I was thinking, like, suffocating / smothering, that's kind of the same thing, but it's like, okay, or like, this is too much. I don't know.
To me, smothering and suffocating, I mean, smothering is kind of sexy. You know, like, you smother something, you know what I mean? That may give somebody the wrong impression. I think suffocating was probably the best word that you could do. Like, ooh.
That's, like, really how I felt, you know?
Well, hey, I you got to go with that, because if someone doesn't get the message, you do all that you can do. Don't, you know, no one needs to leave. And everybody out there, don't leave that door open. Don't use that bullshit. It's not me, it's you. Never fucking say that, because that's never true. We all know that's not true. Never say. I guess maybe we could come up with a, because I think you're right. Like, this is a person-by-person basis. But, like, you know, some things that if you want to give someone the impression that this isn't going to work anymore, this is what you should say to them, or should not say to them. So, you know, I'm not in a good place right now. I'm really busy. Don't ever tell anybody that.
Yeah, I know.
Let me think what else. I'd like you better if you lost a dramatic amount of weight. Don't say that to anybody. That's awful.
But you know, I don't know how much time we have left, but I had another story about someone, like, recently, since this has happened, someone else came and, like, was on me where I had to tell them to go away.
Uh-oh. Go with it. We got time.
Well, you know, I've been doing, like, the poetry slams, mm-hmm. and, I've been going for, like, almost not quite 2 months, and usually it's the same people that go. And there was this guy there, and he goes with one of the other girls that competes in the slams as well. He does not participate in them, mm-hmm. but he goes. And, you know, a couple times after I would compete, he'd say, like, hey, nice job. And I didn't think anything of it, because people, that's just kind of the vibe there. Yeah. Everyone is nice to everyone. And then he requested my friendship on Facebook, and I was like, okay, I see this guy every week. What a big, you know, no big deal. Yeah. So I accept that, and then he started doing the like on every single thing I posted, commenting, and that was when I knew, okay, this. And it's like, I don't want to assume that every dude that sees me is, like, falling in love with me. But mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this might be a little bit weird. Mm-hmm. So I saw him the next week at the slam, and he was like, you know, I saw your blog, which is on my Facebook page, so I wasn't surprised by that. But he was like, you know, it was really cool. And I just said, you know, cool, thanks. And that was pretty much it. But after that, he was kind of like, after the slam was over, he was kind of like lingering around. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is awkward. So I just kind of scooted out of there and went home. And I went again, and I was like, okay, I was having a feeling that even if I say hi to this guy, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
So I went to the slam the following week, and he totally tried to, like, corner me. Like, he was like, hey, Holly, come here. Hey, let's talk. What's up? How come you always have to leave after? And I was like, you know, I got to go. So I was like, okay, now this is a problem. So mm-hmm. he sent me a message on Facebook the following day, basically saying it was a long list of all these things that he liked about me. Like, he likes my poems, he likes my blog. And then he said he wanted to get together to discuss the topics. And now let me just, if you know, listeners haven't read my blog, it's a lot about dating. It's I would say it's very personal, but I'm totally cool with that. I'm open about things that have happened to me. And my poetry is also very personable. Like, it talks about dating, talks about dating failures, talks about whatever. And to me, even though the venue where I slam is public and my blog is public, that someone kind of swooping in like that, to me, I was offended, because that's like a place that's built to be a safe place to share mm-hmm. like your most intimate thoughts and feelings. And I felt like he heard poems about how I've been hurt in the past, had these bad relationships, and he was trying to swoop in and save mm-hmm. me. And, like, that's not up for grabs. Yeah. Like, I mean, I was totally offended. And he, like, left his phone number in the message. So I wrote him back. I was proud of myself. I wrote him back, and I was like, look, thanks for the compliments, but I'm not up for discussion.
Yeah.
And I blocked him on Facebook. And when I went to the slam this past week, he was there, and he was kind of waiting outside. Uh-huh. And I just kind of ran past him, and then I told the guy who was, like, in charge of the slam, because I don't think this guy is going to physically harm me, but I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to be cornered by him. So I just told, like, another male adult, like, hey, could you, like, and he was totally like, hey, because he said, he was like, no, it's really important to me that people here feel safe, and if you don't feel safe getting on stage and doing your stuff, then that's a problem. So
and the fact of the matter is this I mean, the point you make, and for people that don't write, they don't fully understand that, especially the content of your blog, but I guess it's better safe than sorry, because there's more than enough situations that we've all heard about where someone's gotten the wrong impression and that obsession begins, and to end it
yeah.
before it begins. I mean,
I felt like it was like swim fan. I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck?
Well, you know? Your 40 meter is unbelievable, so I can understand why.
Yeah.
Is that even a swimming thing? Probably not. 40 meter, I think that's a dash, but.
Well, oh, I don't know.
Man, I don't know anything about swimming. That's fucking.
And why? Part of it probably is because this last thing happened just, you know, a month ago maybe. And
yeah,
then this
on
happened
creep watch.
So
much. Yeah.
I was like, on it. But, I mean, it's so frustrating because, again, I felt kind of like, am I reading into this too much? But after he sent me that message, I know I wasn't, because the message was fucking weird.
Well,
so yeah. I knew it was, you know, because at first I was like, okay, he just liked all my stuff on Facebook. Is it that big of a deal?
Yeah.
But then it's like, okay, something is up.
Yeah. Well, that's, and this is the other issue with social networking, is that, again, like that all, I know people are like, oh, everyone takes it too seriously, but it gives an impression, and that, if you can't say those things to somebody, and we talked about this in one of our earlier episodes, if you can't say to someone, hey, I really liked your stuff, one, you should never say, let's discuss the topics. That's just a weird thing to say.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. It seemed like either he was A, really weird and creepy, or B, that was the most roundabout way of like asking me out. And either way, the answer's no.
Yeah,
fuck no.
It was bright. You know what he was going to tell you? Again, white knight back again. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sure there's a lot of people in there that are like, oh, you're being an asshole. But no, what he was doing was, oh, she needs me. She
yeah,
needs
that, no, that's really
a
what
real
I felt like.
Man. And dude, stop doing it. Stop fucking
yeah.
doing it. Women don't need anyone. Like, you should want somebody. You shouldn't need somebody. And I know the 80s have, you know, produced a lot of music that made us feel like we need people, but you shouldn't need somebody. And that's the issue, is like, people don't understand this. And for someone to pour their soul out, you didn't create this blog for pity. You didn't create it because you wanted people to, you know, be like, you know, swoon over you. You created it because you're a writer and you wanted to talk about your experiences. And for
yeah.
somebody to target that and think that they're going to be the, oh, well, you know, I've got, you know, I'm on a horse now and I'm gonna help you.
That's what was creeping me out. It's like, dude, do you really think that like you're the answer? You're the answer
yeah.
to my problems. Like
yeah.
that to me is so fucked up.
And he couldn't say it to you in person is the thing that I take issue with a lot of this stuff. Like it you have to be able to say this shit in person. You have to begin that process of potential dating. Do it in person. Now, I'm not talking in regards to, like, you know, there's online dating, that kind of stuff. That's
yeah.
different. I'm
yeah.
talking about, like, if you see someone in public and you cannot go up to them and say, hey, we should go on a date sometime, or hey, I like your poems. If you can't do that, if you have to build up into it by, like, liking everything that they do on Facebook and giving the messages, you're barking at the wrong tree, and you're promoting yourself as a bit lacking in social skills. So I think I think you're pretty good at dodging these bullets, Holly. I don't think you're reading too much into it. I think there's a lot of women that would be like, I wish I had that kind of foresight, because fuck.
Well, it gets tough, because if you are like someone who doesn't want to be a total bitch, then you're put in a situation where you're like, okay,
yeah.
now I have to, you know, when I went last week, like 2 days ago, after I told him on Facebook and blocked him, you know, I knew he was going to be there. So
yeah.
I kind of had a few like, you know, things in my, I was like, okay, what am I going to say? Because
mm-hmm.
I thought he might come up to me and say, hey, I didn't mean it like that, because
yeah.
he's that kind of person. So I was ready to come back and be like, look, I don't, you know, you need to stay away from me. Especially
yeah.
because this is a place where, like, I'm trying to go and get on a slam team. I'm not just going to have fun. So I'm not going to be the one to stop going.
Yeah.
It's either going to be he needs to get it together, or he needs to stop coming, because...
Yeah.
You know, I'm here for a reason, and it's definitely not to pick up dudes. That is the last thing on
yeah.
my mind.
Well, and I think that whole idea of safety, and I think, and here's the thing, like, I think this idea of women being bitchy, because I don't think it is as much of a, I mean, it, I guess maybe it goes with the same thing as dudes being creepy. Like, you've got to be very careful about calling dudes creepy, because that's a death sentence for guys.
yeah,
it's like
yeah.
a fucking scarlet letter. But I don't think women should feel bad about being considered bitchy, because you're either you're either a bitch or you're not a bitch, okay? You're either an asshole or you're not an asshole. You're either creepy or you're not creepy. But, like, to be honest to somebody, I mean, it's always, like, dudes fall back, you know, oh, she's bossing me around. There was an article about being bossy, which I think they took it to another level, but I kind of got it, is that anytime a woman takes, you know, control over a situation or you know, desires something or tries to, like, achieve, like, it, she's a bitch or she's bossy or she's this. And we got to kind of pull away from that. I think it's perfectly okay for, you know, if you're nice, like, 90% of the time, that 10% of the time is your safety bitchiness. Maybe that's what it is. Like, that's like you're like, you know, that's your fire extinguisher. Like, this guy's got to get away. I mean, it's not being bitchy. It's being brutally honest. And these guys need to suck up and deal with it because they don't have social skills at that point. I'm sorry. That demonstrates a lack of social skills. I'm not saying I have the best social skills, but I have way better social skills than if I wanted to date someone, like, to say, oh, I like your poems. Because that's a tone of voice. Oh, hello, Holly. I mean, should be able to know if someone's breathing heavily when they, maybe that would help Facebook a lot.
Well, it's like when I saw him at the slam and when he stopped me, you know, before the Facebook message, when he stopped me and he was like, but he was kind of like, but you always have to go. I was like, yep. And I got to go tonight. Like that to me was kind of my way of being like, okay, this, you know, all right.
Well, you see me here, Holly? Holly, I'm your guy. I'm your guy. Like, I'm here.
It was really fucking awkward.
That is really awkward. And
that to me is like, okay, dude, my thing for him was like, you're liking all my stuff on Facebook. You're commenting on how much you like it. Then when you see me, I'm not making an effort to come say hi to you. I'm not making an effort. That to me is the sign of, okay, it's getting due. Enough is enough. You know?
Yeah. She's just not been into you.
Right. Not into you at all, actually.
Well, and I don't know. That's, God, our, you know, this may actually be a good thing, though. I was thinking about this the other day. I read an article about how society is going to collapse in 20 years anyway because there's too many babies, yada, yada, yada. And I think, you know what? Maybe this next generation of guys isn't a bad thing because they're going to lack so many social skills they're not going to be able to reproduce. And so maybe, like, the population won't explode and maybe we'll be okay. So maybe this isn't necessarily a bad thing. But, everybody, like, if someone's, like, at the gym or doing something they love, don't creep them out. Don't corner them. That's why do people corner people? Who does that shit? I don't even, like, do that to my wife or my cats. I wouldn't even corner my cat. Well, I did have to corner my cats the other day because I got a hold of a sausage. But
I mean, like I said earlier, I'm just from the school of thought, really, that you don't have to, and this sounds really fucking cheesy, but it's like you don't have to intervene in whatever's supposed to happen. Like, that's really just what I think. So you don't have to force it. Like, If somebody likes you or if you like somebody, I just feel like it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. You don't have to send them 30 text messages or like all their shit on Facebook to make it happen because that's probably not going to make it happen.
You should have a quota on the amount of things you can like on Facebook. I think maybe we should put an article like that together because I think that that's like – I think people need to know that. I think there's you've got to be careful. Now, my grandma, my mom like a lot of the stuff I do, and I appreciate it because there's so many people that do. So it's okay if your grandma or mom, but other people, I don't know. Well, I think that, like, I think we've broken this down good. We don't want to go too long, but I mean, just finishing this out, like, everybody stop creeping Holly out. God damn. She's already living really close to the center of voodoo in the whole world, or I guess down south. So she doesn't need any more creepiness. And if you are one of the many serial killers that's slowly beginning to obsess over her, you know, there's other fish in the sea, you know, there's other people to victimize. So but you know, that's our conversation for today. I think I say this after every episode, I realize, is we'll definitely have to have a part two because there's a lot to talk about this kind of shit.
It's never ending. And you know what? I mean, this thing, I'm like, it's something like this, since it's happened to me twice in like a month, it's probably going to happen again. So
we'll be prepared about it. We'll talk about it. But next week, I don't know if we can talk about this. We have a guest next week.
Yeah.
So who's
first guest?
First guest.
My mom.
What? We're gonna have to watch out all the cursing. No, actually, no. Holly's no. Like, no, fuck it. No. Don't worry about the cursing. Yeah. At all. So next week,
yeah, she's pretty excited about it.
So be on the lookout for that one. And I'm Ethan Moses, and this is Holly Phillips. And thanks a lot for joining. And like us. You can like us on Facebook, though. Please like us. Share the show. Do all that kind of stuff. Go check out The Bitter Lemon. Buy Holly's book. Go to Model Husband if you have time after that. So, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.